Chapter 1 Zell Shivertail was dead. Four words rocked the world in the first days of spring. Like wildfire, the news spread across Israel and then to every continent in the world at the speed of magic. Zell Shivertail had fallen. The Tidebreaker had been slain. The legendary Drake hero of both Antinium Wars had been killed in battle, and by a goblin lord, no less. The world was vast. There were countless nations, hundreds of minor kings, any number of generals, self-proclaimed heroes and adventurers, figures of renown whose names were known only locally, in one country or a handful of cities. But there were also named adventurers and world leaders, famous lords and ladies and archmages whose names were known even in the lands where they had never set foot. Zell Shivertail was known to the world, and his absence left a hole in the imagination. He was dead. A goblin lord had slain him. In Israel, in the north, the humans who heard the news were stunned. Not only had the mighty hero of the Drakes fallen, but the power of Magnolia Reinhardt, one of the leaders of the realm, had been shattered as well. Her army fled the field in disarray, striking a political blow whose effects would ripple from that event for months. Yet, if the humans were stunned, it was the Drakes, the people who had grown up associating Zell's name with history, who were truly devastated by the news. When his death was first announced, there were riots across southern Israel, pandemonium in the streets. The next day, there was only silence and tears. The Nol tribes were similarly affected by Shivertail's death. However, instead of making their reactions public, the majority of the tribes withdrew from sight. Massed Nol howls dominated the plains, and they too mourned. Zell Shivertail had been a friend to their kind, if not their hero. The human cities were relatively calm, as they weren't caught up in the loss of a national hero, but fear was the undercurrent that ran across the continent. A legend had fallen. The veil of safety had been torn, and now humans, drakes, and gnolls alike feared what the goblin lord might do next. That was Israel. Across the world, the reactions of other species were muted. They did not know the Tidebreaker, except as a name. However, those who understood strategy or had a grasp of world events felt the significance of his departure. That a goblin lord, a single goblin lord, however mighty, had felled a Drake general of that level was cause for alarm. To be that young and that mighty meant he might well be another Velen the Kind, or worse, a Kurulak. The leaders of other nations faced the very real possibility that a goblin king might arise once more in their lifetimes. And the small goblin conflict in Israel became a much more serious topic of conversation. Plans were hatched, diplomacy begun, but such were the machinations of only a few. After all, it was only politics. The rest of the world did not wait over long after hearing of the fallen Drake general. A moment of shock, a pang of regret or fear, and the world kept moving. Zell Shivertail's death was news, but to the common man, or lizard man, or drowned woman, or selfid, Zell Shivertail's passing was just news, a change in the wind. But return to his home continent, and the reaction was far different. Zell had been known, he had been loved, and he would be missed. Across Israel, there was mourning. Erin Solstice woke up at dawn because she was used to it. She stared at the ceiling of her kitchen and then turned over. There was no point in getting up. No one would be awake, or if they were, they wouldn't be hungry. Erin lay in the tangle of sheets that was her bed in the kitchen of her inn and just existed there for a while. Not quite awake, but unable to return to sleep. In the end, she got up. Erin wandered around her kitchen. She opened a drawer, pulled out a toothbrush, towel, and some of the simple toothpaste they used in this world. She brushed her teeth, gargled, realized there was nowhere to spit, and walked outside. It was cold and wet, and the mud and grass squished between her bare feet. Erin paused, stared at her feet, and then walked to one side into a pile of snow. It was dirty and mostly melted. Erin walked back in, scraping her feet against the welcoming mat she'd put there for this very occasion. She washed her feet more thoroughly with some water from a bucket when she got back to the kitchen. Erin wandered back into the common room of her inn and sat at a table. Her stomach rumbled, but she ignored it. After a few minutes, she heard a faint shuffling sound from upstairs. She looked up, and on cue, a young woman holding a white ball of fur descended the stairs. Lionette looked like a ghost. Erin immediately got up and went over to her. She hugged Lionette silently. The two stood like that for a minute, and then Lionette went over to a table. She put the ball of fur on top of it.
Mersha?
The small gnoll didn't move. She lay on the table, looking like a white ball of fluff. A large one. She'd grown a bit since she first came to the inn, as children did. But she was still so small, so young. Erin patted the gnoll cub on the head. Mersha twitched but made no sound. There had to be a limit to how much despair, how much sadness someone could feel. Erin knew Mersha had loved Zell, and now he was gone. Unconsciously, Erin looked around. It felt like yesterday that the Drake General had been sitting at a table, eating pancakes, talking with Lionette, teasing Mersha and offering her some of his food. And he was just gone. Just like that. Dead, having fought the Goblin Lord hundreds of miles from here. It didn't seem real. It had been 3 days since the battle at Inversil. 3 days since Olesim had burst into the inn in tears and Erin had heard the gnolls howling, heard the horns blaring from the walls of Lyskor and Selys's scream. 3 days. It still felt like she was dreaming. Erin busied herself by taking some food out of her pantry for Lionette and Mersha. Oatmeal, sweetened with honey. Mersha refused to eat. Lionette tried to feed her, but gave up when the gnoll refused to move. She only ate half her bowl herself before pushing it away.
I'll give the rest to Mersha when she's hungry. Right.
Erin realized she hadn't eaten either. She ate a bowl of porridge mechanically as guests came down the stairs.
Morning.
Saria waved tentatively at Erin, her face bleak. Erin waved back. The porridge was hot, filling, and some part of her craved the sweetness and warm food, but the rest of her felt sick from eating. More people walked down the stairs. A young man in white robes who was uncharacteristically silent. Pisces. A black-brown ant-man with three arms. Kissimver. A woman in silver armor. Yvlon. The horns of Hammerod. They accepted bowls of porridge as Lionette got up to serve them and ate quietly. They left quietly, too. They were keeping busy with requests. Small hunts, extermination of small monster nests. Erin understood. It was keeping active that mattered. Dwelling on things hurt more.
Is that porridge I smell?
Someone else came down the stairs after the horns of Hammerod had left. Jellaqua Ivereth. Pale-skinned, her body dead, slightly ravaged by combat and the damage she had taken, walked downstairs. The stitching around her forehead seemed slightly loose. The flesh appeared pallid, rotting. She only smelled a bit and covered the scent with a strong lavender scent. Erin didn't mention it.
There's porridge. Are more in Seaborn?
Coming. We'll be in the dungeon today. Probably be back around noon, though. Don't want to push too far, and we haven't seen Griffin Hunt for a while, so...
Got it. I'll make lunch.
Thanks.
The Selphid smiled quietly, looking tired. Sure enough, Erin heard Moore's heavy tread and turned her head to see Seaborn, the drowned man, slipping downstairs. He was quiet as a shadow, and his crustacean half and his clawed hand didn't impede his progress at all. She served him porridge as well as a small bucket of water to keep him hydrated. Then she got out a huge bowl for Moore.
Thank you, Miss Solstice. You are too kind.
Moore always said the same thing. Erin smiled up at him for a second before her features flickered back to empty blankness. The huge half-giant sat at the table with his two teammates. He looked at Mercia with concern as the gnoll lay on her table. The half-giant's face twisted with tender concern. Then he noticed the large bee that flew across the room and landed on the gnoll's head. Apista, the ashfire bee, waggled her antennae as she walked over Mercia's head. It was her habit to rest on top of the gnoll, and she did so now, oblivious to the gnoll's grief. Erin eyed the bee, but forbade comment. Lionette put out some honey in a small saucer, and the bee crawled towards it. This was the morning in the Wandering Inn, Erin's home and place of business. It was subdued, quiet, and Erin had experienced the same morning for 3 days now. She finished her breakfast by taking a tray and heaping it with 5 large bowls. Not quite as large as the mixing bowl she'd used for Moore's breakfast, but certainly oversized portions. She filled each with porridge, added 5 tankards of weak ale, realized that was too much to carry, and let Lionette take the drinks. Erin walked over to a hatch by the kitchen and opened it with one hand. She called down into the darkness, sensing rather than seeing the figures below.
"Breakfast's here. Porridge. You want to come up?"
In the shadows, a goblin shook his head. Erin nodded and passed the tray down. Green hands rose to take it. Sitting at their table, the 3 adventurers eyed Headscratcher as he took the tray carefully from Erin and walked back down the stairs. Lionette handed the drinks to Shorthilt, and the goblins disappeared into the basement. Goblins. Hobgoblins, to be exact. Erin was grateful they hadn't come up. The Red Fang warriors had been tactful these last few days, barely going above when there were people around. They understood the mood in the inn, as crazy as that might seem. Crazy? Erin frowned as she sat back at a table. No, they were goblins, but they were people too. They could understand grief, and they were smarter than they seemed.
I'm going to the city, Lionette. I'll be back with food for lunch.
Okay.
Erin walked silently to the door, finding her boots and putting them on. It was muddy outside and slippery. She walked out of her inn, tromping through slush and staring up at gray skies overhead. Winter had passed. Spring had yet to begin. The world was dark and wet and miserable. It was perfect weather for a day like today. The walk to Lyskor was short and uneventful. Erin didn't think of much, but she amended her opinion of the goblins as she entered the city. Even if they weren't socially aware, they'd have to be idiots not to sense the mood in the city. Black banners flew on the battlements as Erin walked through the western gates. She saw they were all at half-mast. The guardspeople at the gates and on the walls made no sound as she entered. She thought the Drake guardswoman at the gates was crying. The streets weren't silent as Erin entered. They never were, but there was a quiet nonetheless. No one laughed or shouted here. Erin walked past houses, seeing flashes of blue on each door. Erin hadn't known this, but Zell Shivertail's crest, or family symbol, was a sprig of blue flowers curled like a tail. As she walked through Lyskor, she saw blue flowers everywhere. There was so much demand that some traders and shopkeepers were ordering alchemical dyes to color other flowers. They were selling them for silver pieces on the street. She had her own bouquet on her door. It was carefully arranged by Lionette with Mercia's help, a splash of color in the muddy landscape and melting snow. It felt small and worthless to Erin. Everything did. There was not silence in Lyskor, but the sounds were worse than silence. Drakes, normally stoic and reserved, wept openly in the streets. Erin saw them standing in groups, talking quietly, touching each other, heads bowed. Some just stared blankly ahead. Others looked at her and then turned away. Gnolls also walked the streets. In fewer numbers, but they were just as subdued. No tails wagged, and they went about their business quietly. They had not lost an icon of their people, but they also grieved. Erin saw more than half of the shops that were normally open at this time were shut, their windows shuttered. 3 days, and Liscor had yet to recover. Aaron could remember the days after Skinner and the undead had attacked the city. They had not been like this then. During that time, the city had been noisy, full of grief and lamentation, yes, but noisy. She remembered the people moving about, some weeping for the fallen, others trying to repair, rebuild. It was not like that this time. The Goblin Lord had not killed a single citizen of Liscor. He had not damaged their city, but he had killed their hope. He had ripped away part of Liscor, part of the soul of the Drakes. Perhaps if Zell had fallen on Drake lands, it would have been different. But no, he had died in the north, at the head of a human army, and that mattered. There were very, very few humans on the streets. Aaron walked quickly, head bowed. She was trying to get across the city without incident. She failed. She was walking down a large street when something hit her on the side. She jerked, turned, and ducked as a second clump of mud and snow flashed by her face.
Goblin lover! Traitor!
A drake with light purple scales raised his fist and shouted at her. Aaron raised her hands as he threw another clump, but his aim was bad. He missed, and a splatter of mud hit her on the cheek.
How dare you! You humans are what caused all this! You and your damn cowardly kind! If it hadn't been for you!
He choked on the words. He was young, perhaps a year or two younger than Aaron. She backed away from him as he advanced. He was angry, and she was a target. Worse, Aaron had goblins in her inn. That was a known fact. Aaron saw other drakes turning their heads. Many gave her looks akin to the one the mud-throwing drake had given her. Thankfully, none of them joined in the shouting, but neither did they stop him.
Your kind should be kicked out of the city! We should burn that damn inn to the ground with the goblins inside! You race traitor! You pathetic, damned—
He was coming. Aaron's pulse accelerated, and she braced herself. He didn't look like a warrior, but he was angry, and drakes had sharp claws. She didn't want to hit him. If she did, the street might turn on her, but if she didn't, she turned, ready to run.
Come back here!
The angry young drake was quick. He ran at Aaron, claws clenched into fists. Aaron turned back, realizing she wouldn't get away. She braced herself, ready to take a hit first before she hit him back. He was nearly on her when a hand yanked him off balance. He stumbled, and Aaron turned. A drake with light green scales and a huge, muscular body caught the purple-scaled drake. He grinned at him, showing off his pointed teeth. He had a guardsman's armor on, a mixture of steel and leather, and carried a spear in one hand. He grinned at the smaller, younger drake.
Hi, I'm Relk.
The drake blinked at him. Aaron blinked too. Relk waited a heartbeat, and then headbutted the other drake. It was so fast that Aaron didn't have time to blink twice. The younger one wobbled and then fell over.
Relk headbutt!
Relk raised both his hands over his head like he was a wrestling champion and then looked around. The street was staring at him. He waved at a group of drakes.
All taken care of. No need to worry. Senior guardsman Relk is on the job. Oh, hey, Aaron. Help me move this guy over here so a wagon doesn't roll over him, huh?
He lifted the drake and, with Aaron's help, dragged him to one side of the street. Aaron stared at him as Relk casually laid him down next to a building, and then at Relk.
Aren't you going to bring him somewhere?
What? Nah, here's good enough. He'll wake up in a bit with a sore head. It's not worth bringing him to the barracks.
Relk straightened, casually dusting his claws off. He grinned at Aaron.
Huh, good thing I was here, right? Lots Sudrakes angry at you. But we can't attack humans randomly. That's against the law. I think.
He grinned cheerfully at her. It was such an alien expression that Aaron didn't know how to react to it. She stared at Relk and then at the Drake again.
Thanks? I hope you don't get in trouble for hitting him, though.
What? Nah, I won't get in trouble, probably. I was doing my job, defending the innocent and all that. Hey, what's up with the long face? How's the inn going? You still have all those goblins there, right?
I do.
Weird.
Relk shook his head. He looked around, more animated than anyone Aaron had seen all day. He fidgeted, shifting his weight from one leg to another and then scratched at his stomach. He eyed Aaron furtively with a surreptitious glance he probably thought she didn't notice.
You are doing good at that inn? Lots, inn-like things happening?
I guess?
Aaron stared blankly at him. Relk nodded. He bounced on the heels of his feet, looking around, and lowered his voice.
You got any plans for lunch? I'm kind of hungry, and I thought I might drop by if you have something good to eat.
He misinterpreted Aaron's blank stare.
It's just that, you know, there's a lot of restaurants close right now, and all the guys in the taverns tell me to shut up while I'm eating. And your place has good food, so...
You want to have lunch at my inn?
Aaron said it like it was a question. Relk stared at her.
Well, yeah, that's what you do, right? Food, inns. Have you stopped serving food? I've got money. I can pay, and I won't cause trouble with the goblins. Promise.
The goblins. Aaron stirred. This wasn't the first time her keeping goblins in the inn had caused trouble. She hadn't dared enter the city on the first day. A small crowd of drakes had chased her away. She'd asked Bird to watch out for trouble for that reason. He'd had to chase away 4 drakes already at night. She looked at Relk, remembering.
You just want food?
Yes.
And you're not going to cause trouble? Really?
She scrutinized his face. Relk stared at her, perplexed.
Hey, I don't cause that much trouble. There are plenty of taverns I'm still allowed to drink at.
I'm sure.
Aaron wasn't convinced. She remembered how Relk had attacked Rags before, and that had been Rags, before Zell Shivertail had been killed by a goblin. Her throat closed for a moment, and Aaron had to pause. Relk waited, uncomprehending, almost insultingly energetic. At last he frowned, sensing Aaron's hesitation.
Why can't I come over? Don't you trust me? Hey, are you still mad at me? I thought I got a pass after Christmas. I got a present from Santa, didn't I?
Christmas. Aaron nearly laughed at the memory. She controlled the impulse and glared at Relk.
You did, but as I recall, you hate goblins, and I have goblins at my inn.
Right.
Relk stared at Aaron. She waited and then gave up.
So you're not planning on attacking them?
Why would I do that?
Aaron bit her lip. Relk's wide-eyed look of confusion was annoying her. She began to feel angry rather than numb. She snapped at the Drake.
Because you did it last time! You hate goblins!
And you kicked me out! I want lunch. I'm not going to cause trouble now, duh.
The Drake spoke it as if it were obvious. Aaron folded her arms. He sighed.
Really? Fine. I won't cause trouble. I promise.
Why?
I'm hung.
Why?
The guardsman grumbled. He fidgeted, spun the spear in his hand and nearly hit Aaron on the head, twitched his tail back and forth, and then answered while avoiding Aaron's eyes.
I miss the inn, okay? And I'm hungry. I can handle some damn... I won't cause trouble again, okay?
Aaron stared at him. Relk looked away, and the scales around his cheeks turned slightly red.
What?
You really miss the inn?
Of course I do. It's got pasta and blue fruit drinks and fun stuff. It was fun to... Look, I don't have to go. It's just that... It's the goblins, right? I can handle them, really.
But I thought you'd be angry at them, you know, with Zell.
Aaron broke off. Relk's tail drooped, and for a second, he lost his energy.
General Shivertail? Yeah, you're not wrong. I mean, the entire city's depressed. I bet the other cities are all like this. Those goblins. But that's the thing, right? Those goblins aren't your goblins.
Aaron blinked.
What?
Relk scratched the spines on his head, trying to explain.
Well, I mean, they're not the goblins who killed General Shivertail, right? Those are probably the only goblins that I'm sure didn't do it. So they're innocent. Sort of. You keep saying not all goblins are alike, right? I know those goblins didn't do anything, so I can handle being around them.
It was possibly the most logical thing Relk had ever said. Aaron gaped at him. Relk seemed uncomfortable.
What?
Nothing. I thought you'd be angrier at the Goblin Lord, but that's...
Oh, the Goblin Lord? We'll kill him. Don't you worry about that. He killed General Shivertail, so we'll hunt his entire army down and cut his head off, put it on a pike, and mount it over the general's grave.
Relk grinned, showing all his teeth to Aaron. He didn't loom, and he didn't make any provocative gestures, but in a moment, his eyes changed. He went from friendly Relk to someone who had killed and was imagining killing. Aaron felt a slight chill, but she kept her face straight.
You think the Drakes will really do that?
Oh, we're already forming another army to deal with him. You think we trust the humans to do it? No, he's dead. Him and his entire army.
Relk's gaze darkened. Then he caught himself and grinned at Aaron again, trying to sound light.
But, like I said, your goblins are, okay. I won't pick a fight with them if they don't bother me. Just get me a seat facing the wall, maybe. So, what do you say?
His tail wagged hopefully. Aaron paused. She felt like a ghost, a specter without feeling, but the sight of Relk made her feel grounded in a way she hadn't felt in days. He looked alive, alive and not gripped by despair. She couldn't help but ask him about it.
You're really more energetic than everyone else, aren't you? I thought you'd be angry or sad about Zell. I mean, General Shivertail.
Again, Relk paused, and again Aaron saw his tail stiffen. But whatever sorrow possessed him had a fleeting presence. Relk smiled crookedly and yes, sadly, as he played with the long spear in his hands.
Of course I'm upset about General Shivertail. He's a war hero, a legend. Well, he was, I mean, but he died in combat, you know? It happens. I drank myself silly 3 days ago, and then the day after, and today, well, I feel better. I know everyone else is still upset, but there's not much I can do for the general. He's gone.
The Drake shrugged his broad shoulders, glancing around to see if anyone else had heard. He edged a bit closer to Aaron as he continued in a low voice.
Besides, he was a warrior, a soldier. That's how most of us go out. We don't die in bed. And even if your buddy dies, even if you lose a friend, a brother, a general, life goes on, you know. You can't mourn forever. You march on, and someday the pain goes away. Well, mostly.
Relk paused and coughed, embarrassed. The ghost named Aaron stared at him, and she felt her body warm. She blinked, and then she smiled.
Huh. That was sort of smart. Okay, let's have lunch. My treat.
What? Really?
Relk did a double take as he scratched his tail. Aaron smiled at him, feeling her facial muscles strain slightly with the motion. But the smile stayed, and it felt... oh, it felt good to smile.
I'm sure. Come on, I'll treat you to a meal on the house. And I've got alcohol now. You want fire breath whiskey? I've got an entire keg of the stuff, and it's nasty. Ugh.
Oh, things do change for the better. And it's on the house, you said? Is that because I saved you from that Drake? You can kick him if you like. No? Where are we going?
Relk followed Aaron down the street. She walked with a spring in her step. Just a small one, but it was there. Aaron felt like she was waking up, and for once, Relk's chatter helped. He followed her, tail wagging like a dog, pestering her with questions as his stomach rumbled loudly.
Does that mean one plate or two? Can I get a free refill? Oh, how about an extra helping?
You can have a few plates for free, and I'll refill your drink if you don't break anything.
Oh, really?
She smiled, and that smile illuminated the street. Perhaps it didn't stop the tears of a Drake child. Perhaps it made some of the passers-by angry that she could be happy while they were not. But perhaps it did help in some way. It certainly helped her. She talked with Relk as they walked down the street. Two living people in a city full of ghosts.
Really? Do you like pork belly? I'm told Knowles like it, so I was going to pick some up from a butcher Kershaya knows for dinner.
Pork? Oh, give me a belly, tail, liver, whatever. I'll eat it raw. Wait, don't give me a tail or liver. And I'll eat it cooked.
Okay, but I might need you to carry it.
I can carry a pig.
Awesome. And how do you feel about milkshakes?
Say what now?
The inn was quiet, like a wake, like a funeral. It was silent like the grave. It was a place of quietus, the silence of a passing soul hovering over it, casting a shadow on every action. Lionette sat at a table next to Mercia, staring blankly ahead. She could hear the gnoll's belly rumbling, but Mercia had refused all offers of food, and Lionette had given up trying after a while. There was no one in the inn. Well, the goblins were there, but they were staying in the basement. The adventurers had left, and neither Drassi nor Ishkur were coming in. Aaron had given them time off. It wasn't like there was any business anyways. General Shivertail was gone. Zell was dead. Lionette felt like someone had torn out her guts. She couldn't believe it. She sat, remembering every time she'd talked to him, every time he'd made her laugh, or she'd smiled, or... The inn was like a crypt, like a mausoleum, like a sigh, a last goodbye. The door slammed open. Lionette jumped, and the ball of fur and ashfire bead both jolted. Insect, Noel, and Princess looked up in alarm as Aaron Solstice barged into the inn, arguing with a huge drake carrying an enormous package of meat wrapped in wax paper.
I said get rid of the spear! It's dangerous, and you always poke people with it!
I can't go anywhere without it, Aaron! I'm a guardsman, a senior guardsman, and I get lonely without a spear. It's my security spear. I needed to sleep.
Relk protested as Aaron took the meat from him. He clutched his spear possessively as he edged towards a table and saw Lionette, Mercia, and Epista.
Oh, hey, you're that thief girl. And there's a weird Noel kid, and is that a bee?
He stared goggle-eyed at Epista, who fanned her wings warningly at him. Lionette just stared. Mercia did too. Then they saw Aaron approaching. The innkeeper smiled at them and looked strangely upbeat.
Hey, Lionette, get some plates out. I'm making lunch, and I could use some more water. Oh, and Mercia, honey, if you haven't had anything to eat, get ready, because I'm making pork belly. It's going to be delicious, so you wait right there, okay?
She gently touched Mercia on the nose. The gnoll stared at her. Lionette did, too. She rose, feeling her legs protest the sudden motion, and hesitated before going over to Aaron.
Aaron? What's going on?
Lunch!
Aaron beamed at her. She was already moving into the kitchen before Lionette could ask another question. Aaron spread the choice cuts of pork over the counter and whipped into action. Oil? Spices? She thought she'd make a pork belly sandwich. That sounded very lunch-like, and she had a lovely spread of condiments. Even some mayonnaise. Mercia would love that, although it was a royal pain to make the stuff. There was no sound in the inn except for Relk calling for a drink and Lionette hurrying to get him one. Aaron began to hum to fill the silence. Yes, that was what her inn needed now. Noise. Relk was right. Strangely, he was. There was a time for sadness and a time for not sadness. Aaron knew she'd continue being sad, so she made an effort to be happy, if only for a moment. There was always time to be sad, but happy? She was good at making people happy. Noise. Aaron clattered around with pots and pans, lighting fires, shouting at Lionette that they might need more pepper, and felt the inn stir a bit. She began heating up the oven. Apparently, you needed to prepare pork belly ahead of time with spices and stuff. Aaron had never made it before, but her advanced cooking skill had warned her of the time requirement. Thankfully, there were Noel butchers who sold pre-prepared pork belly. The spices looked good, and Aaron scraped them off before shoving the meat into the oven for some cooking.
I'm hungry. How long until I get food?
50 minutes!
Aaron shouted at Ralph from the kitchen. She heard an anguished cry.
Oh, 50!
Maybe more! It's not even past morning yet! Hold on, I'll get you some snacks.
Aaron finished setting up her kitchen and came out with some bread and soft brie cheese for him. It was a very nice and aromatic cheese from someplace called Vaunt. Apparently they made really high-quality cheeses, and Aaron had been lucky enough to get some when she'd been in Selim.
Oh, cheese! Is this free, too?
Yep, but if Mercia asks, you have to share.
Aaron winked at the gnoll and saw Mercia stir a bit. Relk eyed the gnoll child and protectively encircled the bread and cheese with a claw. It was the worst thing he could have done. Mercia got up, padded over, leapt onto his table, and stared at the food. Relk looked at her, grumbled in his throat, and passed her a heel of bread. She began to eat. There were ways to cure a broken heart, or make it stop bleeding. One of them was food. Food and other people. Aaron had learned this lesson long ago, and she put it into place now. Lionette arrived with two buckets of water and hesitated before going over to Erin as she prepared lunch. The young woman had a saucepan full of sugar, cream, and milk on one of the stovetops and was grumbling about a lack of ice.
Oh, Lionette! Good timing. I need some ice. Can you get it? It's about the only thing that doesn't last in this inn. Oh, I might need to buy a freezing rune after all.
I can do that, but Erin, are you sure it's time for such a big lunch? I mean, it's so much, and...
Lionette eyed the production on the counter. Erin paused, turned, and saw the barmaid's face. Lionette looked blank and lost, much like Erin had. The young woman thought for only the merest fraction of a second before winking and nodding her head to the common room.
I know it's soon, Lionette, but we're cheering Mercia up. She needs to eat, you know.
Lionette's gaze refocused. She blinked and, like Erin, woke up. She nodded at Erin and slapped herself lightly on the cheeks.
Of course. She hasn't eaten all day and she barely touched supper. You're making that ice cream thing again. I'll get some ice. If you see the half-seekers, tell them we're having food in an hour. Oh, and if you see that grumpy Drake, tell him he's invited too.
Who?
Lionette paused at the door as Erin shouted after her. Relk was busy fighting over the last slice of bread with Mercia. Erin poked her head out of the kitchen.
Ilfris!
I am not a grumpy trick.
That was the first thing Ilvris said upon entering Erin's inn. The Lord of the Wall glanced around Erin's inn with his customary sneer, but he didn't insult her immediately on walking in. Erin thought that was as close to a hello good morning as she'd get.
Okay, you're not grumpy, but you are stuck up. Do you want a pork belly sandwich with mayonnaise or without?
With what?
The Drake turned up his nose holes at the sandwich Erin presented him, but she could see the way his eyes followed the glistening sandwich packed with pork belly, fresh veggies, and slathered generously with mayonnaise. He put on a long-suffering sigh as Erin served him the sandwich and only picked it up when her back was turned. It was gone by the time Erin came back. She looked innocently at the empty plate with a few crumbs.
Like it?
It was, acceptable.
He tried not to meet her eyes as he drummed his claws on the table. He instead frowned at Relk as the guardsman lay in a mini food coma at his table. He'd eaten 4 huge sandwiches.
I see your clientele is unkempt as several.
What, Relk? He's a friend, and he cheered me up, so don't be mean. You're like his boss or something, right?
Ha!
Relk sat up slightly at the same time as Ilvris's brows wrinkled. The Wall Lord answered for both of them.
I would not have a soldier like that in my army. I am a lord of the Wall of Salazar. That guardsman is a former soldier of Liscor. I have no authority over him, except in the most dire of situations. Thankfully. Yeah, and I don't take orders from... Oh, hold on. I think the 4th sandwich is coming up.
Relk covered his mouth with a claw. Ilvris looked away in disgust, and Erin laughed.
I told you not to scarf them down. Anyways, Ilvris.
Wall Lord.
Ilvris. I was so down, and Relk cheered me up. After Zell.
She broke off. Sitting at her table, eating a smaller sandwich, Mercia's ears suddenly flattened and the gnoll dropped her food. Lionette, who'd taken over the churning of ice cream, came out, and Ilvris looked at his claws. The Wall Lord didn't weep, and his eyes didn't glisten. They were hard as they stared at the table. But Erin saw the feeling buried beneath the gaze.
Yes, Chevaltel was a fine general. I regret letting him leave the city. If he'd only taken a few Drake soldiers instead of that human army, he might have... He will be avenged. I promise you that.
The Lord of the Wall turned his gaze towards Lionette and Mercia. The gnoll stared at him. She looked at her food and pushed the plate away. But before she could curl up again, Lionette was there. She stroked Mercia's head comfortingly and whispered to her.
I know, Mercia. It's all right. It's going to be all right. You heard the warlord, didn't you? Keep eating. You need to eat. Oh, who's the lovely thing? You are. Do you want Erin's special new food? I'm sure it's sweet.
Very sweet. It's liquid ice cream.
What?
Relk shot up from his table. Erin made up for her slip by disappearing into the kitchen and coming out with some lumpy milkshakes in cups. Mercia looked up, sorrows forgotten by the promise of something new.
Want some?
Erin teased Ilvris. The Wall-Lord sniffed. He took one gulp of the milkshake, put it down, and pushed it aside.
There is such a thing as too much sweet, you know. Oh, not in my book!
Relk was downing his milkshake with record speed. He got halfway through his cup and clutched at his head.
The pain!
Erin laughed at his brain freeze and then frowned at Ilvris. She handed Relk the milkshake instead.
You don't like sweet stuff, huh? You like the milk with honey.
He gave her an arch look as Mercia lapped at the milkshake and her tail began to wag again. She had to fight with a pista to have the drink. The Ashfire Bee was buzzing excitedly around the milkshakes, and Lionette had to shoo her away.
Ah, I'm a connoisseur of food. I appreciate sweet food in moderation, human. This has sold the subtlety of a bag of sugar mixed with milk, which I highly suspect it is. Serve me another half a sandwich and a quality drink. Goat's milk will do, I suppose.
Fine, jerk.
Erin grumbled into the kitchen and grumbled out just in time for the door to open. The half-seekers walked in, looking dispirited and tired. Jellicoe had an arrow sticking out of her shoulder, but they all brightened as they saw and perhaps sensed the change in the inn.
Hey, is that food I smell? Let me at it.
Jellicoe waved and grinned at Erin. Erin stared at the arrow. The self had noticed and grimaced.
What this? Arrow trap. Don't mind me. It's barbed, so I don't want to get it out yet. Poison, too, probably. Seaborn missed it.
I did apologize. I told you something was off about the corridor.
The drowned man was apologetic. Jellicoe rolled her eyes as she sat at a table and peered at the milkshake Relk was holding.
Yeah, that's why I went first, instead of you two. Always send the self at first, remember? This body's nearly done for anyways. Hey, what's that stuff the Drake's drinking?
It's sugar. Sweet, sugary, cold stuff.
Relk dreamily grinned at Jellicoe. Ilvris snorted. The self had glanced at him and then raised a hand.
One of those for me. Seaborn, more?
I'll try it.
None for me, but I will have whatever's for lunch.
The half-giant and drowned man sat at the same table, and Erin was soon bustling around, asking how the dungeon trip had gone. Ilvris sat, looking grumpy, chewing on his sandwich, but as Erin had observed, deliberately being here rather than elsewhere.
This is so great! I'll have this every day! Oh, I love this stuff!
Relk was vibrating in his seat after his second milkshake, and Erin decided he'd had enough. Unlike Ilvris, Relk couldn't get enough of the drink, and only her finite amount of milkshake stopped him from racing into the kitchen and running off with the entire batch.
I bet you could sell this stuff on the streets and you'd earn a bit. It's good, although it probably is the wrong season for it.
I'd love this in the summer,
Jellicoe commented as she sipped at her milkshake. Relk nodded rapidly and repeatedly.
Why don't you sell this stuff more often? It's great, beyond great. I'll buy it all the time. I'll buy it every day. Why do you send this on the menu everywhere?
Erin made a face at Relk, and she handed Lionette a handkerchief. The barmaid cleaned Mersh's face as the gnoll scarfed at her food, appetite restored.
Because it's expensive, Relk. I'd have to charge a lot for it, and the price of sugar keeps going up.
Right, right. Because it's got to be shipped here, and it's winter. Sugar comes from Belarus and all that. Oh, damn.
Whatever sugar high Relk was on slowly subsided as the drake stopped shaking. He had an amazingly quick metabolism. Ilvris just snorted. When Erin looked at him, he dismissively pushed his plate back.
That drink is disgusting. It might sell well among humans with no palate and a few drakes with similar deficiencies. Hey, but it is no drink for the people. You would do well to avoid selling it, except to children and the easily satisfied. However, I will give you credit for your other creations. That condiment you used on the sandwich. What is it?
What? Mayonnaise?
Is that a human creation of some kind?
Sort of. I think only I make it. Why? Does it make my inferior human cooking good?
Erin smiled at Ilvris. He stared haughtily at her.
It is acceptable. I will collect a recipe from you before I leave the city. I am sure my personal chef will be able to adapt it more suitably into his cooking.
Sure. But it's a trade secret on how to make it. No one else knows. I think. So I could charge you.
She'd meant to tease the drake, but the wall lord didn't blink twice.
Only naturally. And if you would keep your mouth shut about the creation of this, mayonnaise, I would offer an additional fee. It would be a suitable surprise for me to entertain my guests with when I return to Salazar. I will have one of my aides discuss the matter with you.
Wait, really?
The innkeeper faltered. Jellicoe sat up and whistled.
Ooh, Lord Money. Nice.
It is customary to secure new inventions and developments ahead of time. You humans might not grasp the idea of secrecy, but even small creations are a political tool to be employed at will. The difference between a successful banquet and an unsuccessful one can be a war's gains in the realm of politics.
Ilvris informed the room at large with his haughty tone. Erin blinked at him and stared down at the pot of mayonnaise in her hands.
Whoa, mayonnaise diplomacy. I've seen everything.
Lionette giggled, and Mersha smiled as Erin lifted the mayonnaise high overhead theatrically. Jellicoe snorted. Seaborn ate quietly, and Moore smiled. Ilvris just scowled, while Relk laughed and asked for a fifth sandwich. This was the Wandering Inn. It wasn't perfect. Some of its guests were missing. But in that moment, it was whole again. The shadow of Zell's passing lingered. But for a brief second, there was sunlight peeking out behind the clouds. And then someone opened the door. Not the door to the rest of the world, to the floodplains of Lascaur. No, it was the door on the far wall, the magical door. Erin turned her head, wondering if Octavia was hungry or if a guest had come in from Selim. However, instead of seeing the alchemist's shop, she was blinded by a sudden flash of bright sunlight. Loud horns and drums suddenly echoed in the confines of the inn, and she saw a tall figure standing in the doorway. Half-blinded, Erin shielded her eyes, then exclaimed as she recognized the door opener.
Hawk?
The courier stood in the daylight, his vest stained with sweat. He looked windblown, covered in dirt, but he seemed alive, burning on a runner's high. The rabbit beastkin's fur was dark, and he was still breathing heavily. There were tears in his eyes. He stood in the daylight on a stone path, and the sky was blue and bright behind him. He was somewhere else, somewhere hundreds of miles away, yet he was connected with the inn through the magic of the door. Erin stared as she heard the distant drums beating and horns blowing. It sounded like there was some kind of celebration, or... Hawk stared at her through the doorway.
It worked! Dead gods!
His voice was rusty, and he coughed as he spoke. Breaking out of her reverie, Erin went to the door. She spoke through it, peering through the other side. She could see houses behind Hawk. He was in a city. No. If he had opened the door, that meant...
Hawk! Is this a walled city?
The courier blinked at Erin. He nodded slowly.
That's right. I arrived in Palace this morning. I didn't know. I hadn't heard about the general until then. After that, I found this spot and set up the door like he said. It took a while to figure out how to activate the stone the Pisces gave me, but it worked.
Dead gods. Someone whispered the words behind Erin. She stared at Hawk, not quite sure she was hearing him right.
So, this is a walled city? I mean...
Just like that, Erin stared through the door. It had opened, and suddenly, it was another city. Hawk nodded. He looked tired, but he still seemed as surprised as Erin.
I can barely believe it. I knew that was what you wanted, but... Erin, I ran for the last 4 days to get here. It wasn't my fastest run, but I'm a courier, and now I'm staring at you. That's one major magical artifact you've got there.
Wow. I knew that, but... A walled city. Palace, you said?
Palace! So your door works as you claimed, human. This is excellent. Extraordinary, even.
Ilfris strode towards the door, inspecting it, staring at the place where Erin's inn stopped and the other city began. Erin stared at the sky. It was the same sky, the same time, as far as she could tell, but the sky was bright and blue there. There was no threat of rain around Palace. It was stunning to see.
Mind if I come through? I could use a place to sit and rest.
Hawk gestured to the door. He would have stepped through if Ilvris and Erin weren't crowding it. Erin moved aside, then remembered, and hopped back in place.
Hold on! The inn doesn't have enough mana, or whatever, to let the door transport more than one person at a time. I think that's what Pisces said. If you come through, we have to wait 24 hours.
Oh, really? Damn. I suppose there had to be a catch.
Hawk sighed. Erin hesitated and raised a finger.
Well, you can come through. I just meant that if you want to go back, you have to wait.
Oh, in that case...
I will be using this door first. I commissioned this new portal, after all.
Before either Erin or Hawk could react, Ilvris strode through the door. He walked onto the streets of Palace and looked around.
Oh, incredible.
Hey!
Erin shouted after him. She raised a fist and shook it at Ilvris.
You can't do that, you jerk! What if Hawk wanted to come back?
The Wall Lord turned back to look at Erin. Hawk stared at the human askance.
Miss Erin?
I hardly need your permission to use the door I paid access for, human.
That was a deal to let you go through, not monopolize the door.
Erin, did you just...
I require a route back to my home city of Salisar. The conditions I specified were quite generous. You give me access to this magical door of yours, and I would not only pay you for the use of it, but hire the courier to install your doorway in Palace, which, I might add, is
still a long distance away from Salazar itself.
Yeah, I get that, but Hawk could have had a break. Now we have to wait for the door to recharge. And what are you going to do without your aides?
About that, Miss Aaron, while Lord Ilvris, have you noticed?
I will survive on my own for a day, and I am not used to being addressed like a fool. Understand me, human. You may have satisfied some of my requirements with your inn, but the needs of a lord of the world take far more precedence than—
Excuse me!
Both Aaron and Ilvris turned. Hawk stared at both of them and cleared his throat.
I appreciate the two of you are arguing, but have either of you noticed where you are?
What?
Aaron looked at Ilvris, confused. He looked back at her, and then at Hawk, irritated at the delay. Then he paused. He stared at Aaron. Aaron stared at her feet. Her feet. They were on stone, not wooden floorboards. Aaron stared down at the smooth, paved stone at her feet. She was standing on a massive block of stone, rather like a sidewalk, actually, but smooth cut. It was cream-colored, only slightly gray and dirty from the passage of many feet and years. Nice stone, in other words. Definitely not part of her inn. Slowly, Aaron looked around. She saw blue skies, tall stone buildings, and other newer buildings of wood. She heard the pounding of drums, trumpets sounding some kind of marching music, and she turned and looked back at the doorway. The empty, plain doorway that was set into a stone wall. There was a wood door there, with a gem set in the center of the door, the same mana stone that Pisces had attuned to her door back in Liscor. And in theory, the doorway should be showing Aaron's inn, ready to let someone step through to the other side. In theory. That theory fell apart if the door were out of mana, however. It only had enough to carry one person across from Liscor to Palace. Or perhaps Pisces had been wrong and it was two. And perhaps, just perhaps, Aaron had stepped through the door to harangue Ilvris. Aaron stared at the blank doorway. She stared at Ilvris. The Lord of the Wall had a very, very curious expression on his face as he stared at the blank stone wall and at Aaron. She thought he was trying with all his might not to laugh in her face. She looked past Ilvris and up at Hawk. The tall rabbit man stared at her and at the blank doorway with chagrin written all over his face.
That recharges, right? Tell me that recharges.
It does! It does! It just takes, a day.
Aaron hastily reassured him. Hawk nodded slowly. He looked at Aaron and at Ilvris and squared his shoulders. Then he coughed.
Right. Well, Miss Solstice, Wall Lord, welcome to Palace, northmost of the walled cities.
He gestured helplessly around the city made of stone. Aaron scuffed at the ground. There wasn't much to see there. Hawk had set the door in an alley, but she heard the drums, heard the horns, and in the distance, the sounds of many voices cheering. She stared at the blank doorway leading back to her home, chewed at her lip, and then shrugged.
What the heck? I like new places. You said this place is called Palace? Oh, I always wanted to see a walled city. Let's go exploring.
She walked out of the alley. Hawk choked as he stared at Aaron and then back at her door. Ilvris stared at Aaron's back in shock for a second and then stomped after her.
Hold on! I go first! Are you completely unaware of protocol? And why did you follow me through?
Shut up! Shut up! It was an accident, okay?
Hawk heard the two arguing as they walked out into Palace. He stared longingly at the door and poked the wall through the doorway, as if hoping it would restore power to the magical artifact. Then he shook his head and hurried after the drake and human.
No one pays me enough for this job.
And then Aaron was there, in a walled city,
Just like that. It was sudden, unexpected, but it was real, and it had happened. And there was no going back. The world was slightly different for what had passed. She could be shocked about it, but only for so long. This was how things were. It had happened. Just like that.